Thank you and welcome to Juno Afternoon. I'm Boston Christopher. Today we talk with members of the Blue Lagoon Project about their first live concert happening Saturday, March 14th at the Crystal Saloon. This first live concert has been years in the making for the synth rock collaboration of Mike Moss and a bevy of local singers. We'll hear some tracks and get the lowdown on the concert. And welcome back to another year of the JUMP Short Film Festival. This festival, focused on showcasing the talents and imaginations of local filmmakers, hits the Gold Town Nick beginning on March 19th. Aaron Searing and Pat Race from the Juno Underground Motion Picture Society and Colette Costa from the Gold Town are here. Those conversations are coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon from your community-supported public media station, KTOO. Or catch us on our live streams on KTO's YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram pages. Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Tongass Federal Credit Union, a member-owned financial cooperative offering checking and savings accounts, loans, and digital financial services. In Juno at 8585 Old Dairy Road in the K Plaza and at tongassfcu.com, federally insured by NCUA.
Support from Hanson Gress, seeking curious people who like technology, network engineering, and customer support. Opportunities for those who thrive on problem solving. Details at hansengress.com/careers.
You are listening to Juno Afternoon on KTO. We're going to be talking with Blue Lagoon, but first let's check out this track from Blue Lagoon called Hinterland.
Thank you.
making your synth rock dreams come true on a Friday afternoon. You are listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Akbe, and online at KTOO. That was Blue Lagoon with Hinterlands. And this Saturday, March 14th at the Crystal Saloon, it's going to mark the first live concert for the Blue Lagoon Project. It's the brainchild of Mike Moss, and he is joined by many of his collaborators for this concert. How is it possible that this is the first live performance for this band after so many records? What can we expect tomorrow night? Well, Mike joins us now in the studio, along with Allison Wade, who is a singer on the project, and of course also Kirsha Hughes-Scandies from the opening act Short Notice. Gwyneth Chi, Shai Adi, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you all in here on a Friday afternoon. Wasiati, how are you, Mike?
I'm doing good, thank you.
Excellent. Allison, Wasiati, how are you?
So wonderful, Boston.
So wonderful on a wonderful Friday afternoon. And Kirsha, good to see you again. Wasiati, how are you?
Yake.
Yeah, good. That's so great. That song features Salisa Thole, and it's just a rockin' tune. It's just like an awesome song. And which album is that from, Mike?
That's from Here Be Dragons. Came out in 2022.
2022. Okay, so let's go back to the beginning real quick. And how did Blue Lagoon and synth rock become like the thing for the Blue Lagoon Project?
Okay, well, I was born in... No, I'm just kidding. How far back are we
going? We got to go way back. All the way back to the 1980s.
Well, I've been writing songs my whole life, and... in the past, I always sang them myself, and it was kind of more of a singer-songwriter type project. Mm. And then I took a long time off from writing songs because I was started a career, raising a family, all that kind of stuff. When I came back to it, it was right about when COVID hit. And I had some extra time, as a lot of people did, and I just got into songwriting again a lot. And the technology has progressed now that you can make pretty decent-sounding albums at home. And then I had a bunch of friends that could sing, and I was like, oh, this is fun. So things just started rolling from there.
So you don't sing anymore. You sing some backup, maybe. Or do you sing any lead on any of the tracks now?
I do sing lead on a few tracks. Like maybe one per album kind of thing.
Okay. All
right. I do sing a lot of backups, both on the records and in the concert tomorrow. But for the most part, I'm kind of at the point in my life where I'd rather hear other people sing.
Well, we have so many talented singers.
Yes, yes.
Like Allison Wade here in town. So, Allison, how did you get involved with the Blue Lagoon Project?
Well, Mike and I have worked on a few projects in the past, and he texted me and said, you want to sing?
It's that easy.
Fascinating story. Yeah.
So you wouldn't believe the story. But it's so, it has been so much fun. The songs are so fun to sing. Mm. And working with people that are, are hardworking and talented at the same time is like such sweet comfort. Mm. So it's been so nice to practice things. And Mike is like, super talented, and like I showed up to some rehearsal, and of course he had everything memorized because he wrote it, but it was also just this great push to ensure that I showed up and made him proud. Mm. So it's been really fun.
Oh, that's really cool. And again, this is Blue Lagoon. It's the synth rock originals and covers. It's tomorrow night at the Crystal Saloon. It begins at 7:30 with special guests.
That's right.
Short Notice. Yes. Kirsha Hughes-Scandies. Yes. Tell me a little bit about Short Notice.
So we are one of Mike's student bands.
Okay.
And he does an awesome thing where he has kid student bands, like what you would think if you said student band, but he also works with grown-ups. Mm-hmm. So it's great because it's like totally like kid style where you show up and like just kind of here's what you need to get started, and everybody just starts together and learns together. And so we've been doing that for, this is our second year, I think. So,
wow.
Yeah.
So what kind of music do you all play?
We definitely show our age and our picks a little bit. There's a lot of 90s, but we have some more recent songs too. We're fun old people. So
yeah. And what do you play in the band?
I play bass.
You play bass?
Yes.
Okay. Is that like a bass guitar? Or
yes, bass guitar. So everybody plays something, this is a gross exaggeration, but I would say like generally the vibe is that even if we have done stuff in the past, like performance or music, we're kind of doing something new to us. Mm. So, like I've messed around with guitar before. I've messed around with banjo before. But I've never played bass, and I've always wanted to. So
I see. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So you're talking about, like, 90s music, things
90s
like that?
90s music, 2000s music,
so we're talking, like, what, Creed, Nickelback? Or...
Oh, God, of course.
No,
we're cool. It's like The Cure, The Smiths. We've got fun stuff. We've got some, like...
Third Eye Blind, Cranberries.
Blink-182.
Cranberries.
Yeah. Blink-182,
yes,
that's
Cranberries,
right.
Yes.
Blink-182. Okay, yeah. What Cranberries song do you do?
Dreams.
Oh, nice. Mm. Okay, that's so cool.
Yeah, it's super fun.
So, Mike, tell me a little bit about these student bands that you have, these adult bands. Mm-hmm. So, because you also have Nagoon Berry's Music, which is like,
that's my teaching studio.
Teaching studio. Mm-hmm. And so you're teaching younger folks, but also adults, like Kirsha.
Yeah, I started doing the rock band program, you know, like it's kind of like a school of rock type thing. But I started doing it with kids. But I had I have adult students too. And I had a couple adult students who were at the point where they really would benefit from playing with other people, but they didn't know how to put that together. There's a lot of stuff that goes into like putting a group together to play, you know. And so I was like, I think I can make that happen. And so I just expanded into now I have two adult student bands.
Oh, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. And I'm really excited to show them off tomorrow.
So tell me, how do you like... make a synth rock song? What's the impetus for that? Like, where does it start?
Well, for me, my childhood was kind of in the late 80s, early 90s. And at that point, there were a lot. That was kind of the genre. Like, there was Belinda Carlisle's Heaven is a Place on Earth is kind of the template, I think. And in fact, we're doing that song tomorrow, of course, because it's great. But there was a moment there before grunge hit where there was synth pop that had a lot of kind of heavy guitars in it. It was kind of the synthesis of pop and like hair metal that was out at the time.
Mm.
Anyway, those are just two sounds that I really like a lot. Mm-hmm. And so when I started writing it, I just kind of naturally put a lot of those things in there. So, it's synth pop with guitars, but I say synth rock because I think that's a pretty good description of what it sounds like.
Synth rock.
Yeah,
and I know that last year you did an episode of our series Songwriters on Songwriters. Marion Call interviewed you. And that, I think, was maybe the first time you had performed some of that music live. Because everything was in a studio previous to that. And you brought in, like, the machine that had all of the programming.
There's a lot
it.
Of gear involved, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of gear in there because you're making, like, a lot of different sounds, right? I mean, you had your synthesizer, obviously. But then what goes into that box that you had? There was all kinds
of... Oh, well, because a lot of this genre of music uses arpeggiated synths and rhythmic synced sounds. So there are backing tracks running, which enables us to do a little bit bigger arrangements than you might expect from, you know, a typical bar band or whatever. And then one of the really cool things I'm doing this time is I also have a bunch of lighting equipment that I invested in that's also synced to the music. Like I can program the lighting to change with the song changing and stuff. And so
it's very theatrical.
Yeah, it's very theatrical. It's very big. You know, a lot of people, they hear, oh, you're doing original songs, you know, and they kind of have an image of what that is. And I don't think I'm different. I hope people will come and check it out because I think it's going to be really entertaining.
A lot of times you think of somebody who's writing their own songs, you think of somebody with a guitar.
Yeah.
You know, and they're sitting there with one spotlight and they've got their thing and, you know, their bottle of beer or whatever. But no, this is
much
like
bigger, much
production.
Bigger.
Like, this is huge. And this you can hear it in the sound of the music. Like, you can hear the large S, you know, ness of it.
Good. That's what I'm going for.
Yeah, that's right. And so let's take another listen. Let's take a listen to another track. I'm going to play, should we hear Pull of the Stars or Last Ice Falls, Mike?
Well, let's do Last Ice Falls. That's
Last Ice Falls. Okay. This also features Celisa Thole.
Oh, yeah.
And this is from the most recent album, right?
Love in the Time Of. Yep.
Yeah, Love in the Time Of. Okay, so this is Last Ice Falls from Blue Nagoon here on Juno Afternoon. We'll take a listen and be right back.
Thank you.
That is Last Ice Falls featuring Salisa Thole from Blue Nagoon's album Love in the Time of. Blue Nagoon is going to be at the Crystal Saloon tomorrow night for their first live in-person concert with an awesome cast. Mike Moss is the leader of the project, the creator of these songs, and he collaborates with tons of people. Mike, tell me a little bit about everybody that's involved tomorrow night.
Yeah, well, I just feel super fortunate I was able to assemble pretty much an all-star cast for this for the show. So we have Simon Taylor on bass. Simon and I played in Susu and the Prophets for many, many years.
Mm.
And then Nick Fishman on drums. Nick's kind of new to town. He's moved here earlier this year. He's just a phenomenal drummer. I credit Nick with a lot of what we were able to do in this show because I could just throw songs at him and he would just like listen and be like, okay, got it.
Wow.
And I was like, okay. And then I was like, well, how about five more? How about 10 more? You know, and it just kind of grew from there. But anyway, and then I'm playing, of course, keys and guitar depending on the song. And then the singers, we have Allison, we have Salisa Thole, Alyssa Fisher, Patricia Lateem, and Shona Osterhout.
Right, and
Shona was in The Prophets, too, yeah.
In The Prophets as well.
Yeah.
Okay, and then I also want to ask Kirsha, who else is in Short Notice with you?
I have a sister singing, and we have Chris and Jeannie Murray, and then we have Mark Yap and Amy Deem.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. Cool. That's awesome. So you were talking a little bit about effects and lighting that you're going to have tomorrow night,
yeah.
Mike. So give us a sense of like what can we expect tomorrow musically, theatrically? What are we going to be listening to and seeing tomorrow?
Yeah, so my set is going to be a lot of, as you've heard, it's very big, big energy, big, you know, there's lots of old school songwriting, bridges, change-ups, key changes, solos, all that kind of thing. And, you know, my songs are 5 minutes long. And anyway, so a lot of that kind of thing. It's going to be a lot of songs from the past couple albums I put out, which are more in the kind of synth rock territory. But then we're also going to do a bunch of songs from – I have two albums in the works coming out. One's a straight-up rock album with various subgenres. There's symphonic metal. There's like Jim Steinman-esque, Meatloaf-type big rock – theatrical rock songs.
Mm.
So we've got a couple of those in there. And then I have a pop album coming out as well. And so there's a couple kind of just – more modern pop songs. So it's a bit of a mix. I mean, the through line is it's all me, so it's, you know, if you know my songwriting, you kind of know what to expect. But there's a variety. And then we're also going to do, of course, a bunch of really fun covers.
What are some of the covers you're going to do?
Oh, we want to spoil this. Yeah.
You don't have to
mentioned
spoil.
One.
You mentioned
yeah, Heaven
one.
Is a Place on Earth, of course, will be in there. We're doing Bring Me to Life, Evanescence, one of my all-time favorite songs.
Okay, maybe don't tell too much.
Yeah,
keep them on the edge of their seats. That seems
all you
to
need
get
right there.
Really excited.
I'll say that the covers are not covers that you would typically expect people to do.
Would you say that Bring Me to Life, is that qualify as like a synth rock song?
There's not a lot of synths in it, but it is very much.
It has that operatic feel.
Yes, yeah, it's got that.
And maybe
that's larger than life.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That kind of your music. I mean, synth rock is one way to say it, but it does have this like, you know, orchestral larger sound to it that I think is. And
I
that's
think theatrical
what
is a good word.
Yeah, theatrical
Allison
is
said,
a good word. Yeah. Any Queensryche in your future? Do you know Queensryche?
I know Queensryche. No, I don't have any of it.
I just remember them from my youth. I loved Queensryche. I sat there with Operation Mindcrime, the album, and just listened.
Oh,
listened,
yeah, that's headphone music.
Yeah, that's total headphone music. And it's like a story. It's really, really cool. And so when you come to, like, themes in your music, and I guess it would be more lyrically in terms of themes. Like, what are some of the themes in your tunes?
Oh, well, I think the Blue Nagoon template, I always like to write kind of us against them, us against the world love stories kind of thing. You know, those always resonate with me. So there's a lot of that in my music. But yeah, and then I like to throw in sci-fi and fantasy references as well.
I got you.
I like
that
stuff.
And one of the things I noticed on your Bandcamp, I just want to give this a shout out. You have one of the newer things I think you put out, The Invisible, that you collaborated with. Tell me a little bit about that song.
That was a collaboration with a synth artist that I'm friends with online from Germany named UAP. And I've been a big fan of his music. He does similar kind of retrowave inspired stuff.
Mm.
And we got to talking and we were like, let's do a song together. And so that's what came out. We passed that back and forth to each other over and over online. And then we even shot a video. We each went into our respective forests, his in Germany and mine here. And then we cut it together. So it looks like we're in the same forest.
Yeah. Is that like available on YouTube or something?
Yeah, YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's the thing I want to ask is, where can we find the music online? Is Bandcamp the best place, or
where
Bandcamp
else? Is kind of the last bastion of decent places to get music that actually supports the artist. But it's also on streaming if you're into that. And then also YouTube. But if you go to BlueNagoon.com, it has links to everything.
BlueNagoon.com is the place to go. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's also a place to go if anybody is interested in maybe like being in an adult rock band or getting their kid involved
in touch.
Some music lessons. They can reach out to you and do that. And then, Allison, where can we follow you and your adventures?
Tomorrow night at the Bristol Saloon. I think that's the only place I'm at.
That's the place you're at right now.
I'm not really online unless you're in a deep Discord subcategory.
Yeah. That's off the grid.
That's healthy. Right.
Off the grid. And what about you, Kirsha?
I'm also lurking off the grid.
Yeah.
But I'll resurge for Folk Fest.
Oh, you'll be around for... Do you have a band for Folk Fest?
Yeah, the Pepperoni Rolls.
The Pepperoni Rolls.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah. And Allison, are you doing anything for Folk Fest?
I am. I'm singing with Queens, and then I'm also... singing with Kelsey, and we're going to do some musical theater.
Oh, I did see that on the schedule. That's going to be so fun. Awesome.
And my other adult student band is doing a Folk Fest set on Saturday.
I wondered if that was. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Interesting.
I saw that.
They're called Zero Visibility.
Zero Visibility.
Yep.
That's cool. Okay. Yeah. Folk Fest
proliferating.
Is like literally around the corner.
It's
amazing. And there's so many things happening before that. You know,
I need to learn to play the ukulele.
Yeah. Including this concert tomorrow night. Blue Nagoon is going to be at the Crystal Saloon starting at 7:30 p.m. It's on March 14th. Special guests, the Short Notice, with Kirsha Hughes-Scandies and fellow players playing all kinds of cool covers from the, is it 90s and 2000?
90s and 2000s.
A lot of 2000s.
A lot of 2000s. Okay. That's good. And then this awesome list of people here that Mike's playing with, including Allison Wade, who's in the studio with us today. That concert is tomorrow. It's the first live concert of this, which is so cool because these songs are so epic.
Yeah.
To be able to get it live, it takes a lot of work.
Yeah, and I think they translate. I think we did it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, that's going to be so cool. So really appreciate you all coming in here today. I want to go out with this song, which is one of the people who will be with you tomorrow, Elisa Fisher. Mm-hmm. And you did a whole album with her called Crestfallen, which is a little bit different.
It's kind of my Forgotten Stepchild album, but it's so – I love it so much.
Yeah,
ahead. Yeah, it's like lo-fi, hip-hop, chill pop. It's very mellow. And Alyssa's voice is just perfectly suited for it. I love that album a lot. We're not doing any of those songs tomorrow because they don't quite fit with the rocking stuff, but I encourage people to check it out. It's really good.
It's headphone music.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where you can sit and chill, and Elisa's voice is just so amazing. So we're going to go out with that song. It's called Crestfallen from the album Crestfallen. And that is also from Blue Nagoon. You can find everything at BlueNagoon.com. Really appreciate you being here, Mike, Allison, Kirsha. Really appreciate it. Gonna cheese.
Thanks, Boston.
Here we go with Crestfallen.
I woke up 2 in the morning.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com. Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Emil Mackey at Country Financial, offering insurance for home, auto, and business, and life insurance to protect your family in case of death. Located in the Juno Nugget Mall. More information can be found online or by calling 907-500-7017. This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Happy Friday afternoon. I'm sitting here in the studio with the two gentlemen from the Juno Underground Motion Picture Society, and they have a short film festival coming up. This is like, we're trying to figure it out, but they basically been doing it since 2002. Yeah, and true. So this is like 25 years, almost a quarter century of the Jump Film Festival. I have in the studio with me now Pat Race and Aaron Surin Gunathcheesh. Welcome in, Wasiti to you. Pat, how are you?
Yeah, doing great. Thanks for having us in.
Excellent. How are you today, Aaron?
I'm all right. Thanks, awesome. Thanks for having us here.
Yeah, so it's funny. I was looking back at the website. The jumpsociety.org is where you can go to submit. That yesterday was technically the deadline, but I'm sure if you begged Pat and Aaron, you might be able to still get a film.
Actually, I would love to get some more submissions.
You don't have to beg.
Yeah, you don't have
just
to
do
beg.
It.
I think,
just do it.
If we can get stuff before, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, I can still put it in the festival. Our submissions have always been kind of loosey-goosey. The thing that we're...
Soft deadlines.
The thing that we're a little more firm on is that it has to have a Juno connection. This is a film festival of Juno films. So the filmmakers either have to be from Juno or there has to be someone in it from Juno or it has to be made
filmed
in Juno,
here,
that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Sure, okay.
So it's a local film festival and that's kind of the thing that we're a little tougher about.
Yeah. That makes sense. But it's funny because I was looking back at the website and it's basically a bunch of blog posts when the festivals come up. And I went back to the very first one, page 71.
Amazing.
And I found this thing and it was talking about, you know, entries are due, but it says, what format is preferred for submission?
Oh, yeah.
And it says, we prefer mini DV tape.
Sure do.
But we'll also work with VHS tape, i8 tape, or uncompressed QuickTime or window media files. How times have changed.
Yeah, we would prefer a digital file now. MP4s are good. Yeah.
No mini DV tape?
We could make
it work.
We could do that. You got to get
VHS
it in.
VHS is not quite what we're looking for, though. That's not the quality.
Yeah,
we're
that would
for.
Be pretty,
if you're
going
to submit your film on VHS, get it to us early.
Okay, so this festival is taking place next Thursday, March 19th at 7 p.m., Friday, March 20th at 7 and 9, and then it skips a day and goes to Sunday, March 22nd at 4:30 in the afternoon if you want an afternoon matinee.
Correct.
But let's go back. And you were talking about it a little bit, Pat, but this is a festival that's highlighting local filmmakers or local stories about Southeast or Juno. And tell me a little bit about how this festival got started.
Yeah, I mean, short films. We love making short films. We love screening them. We love watching what other people have made. And it's a little bit like, you know, Stone Soup. Everyone kind of brings their thing to the party. And it's hard to get a lot of people into a theater for a 3-minute film. So it's nice to just like get them all together and have a screening that can be a little more substantial. And so it's always been a collection of short films. It kind of grew out of, our experiences up in Fairbanks. Both of us went to school at UAF and along with Lou Logan. And we did film festivals up there that were student film festivals where we'd round up everyone, you know, like make us a music video, make us a film, make us a documentary, and then we'd screen them all. And then we just kind of continued doing that after we graduated. We came down to Juno. There were other festivals in Alaska. Bob Shorts at the time was coming around.
That's
Bob
kind
Curtis
of
Johnson. Yeah, he came through Juno and did he was doing something similar that was sort of on the statewide level and traveling the festival around. And so, at that point, there was a lot of enthusiasm for it, and we did our screenings at the Old Silver Bow Inn in the back room there, and that was just like we'd pack that place up with people, and it was rowdy, and there's popcorn and bagels and all that stuff, and it was fun.
Yeah, like a lot of people came out for the Bob Shorts, and were like, hey, if they're going to come out to see this stuff that's not not even that good, but it's kind of Alaska, not even Juneau themed. We could do this. We could make this happen.
It's so funny you mentioned that because there was in that same post. I keep going back to this post because I found it so fascinating. But
yeah,
something
that's
about
hilarious,
like too. What if people don't like my movie? There was and I think Lou wrote that post and he said something. Well, here's the thing: if it's bad, it's going to be over really quick.
Yeah.
And if it's good, then your friends will love you.
Yeah. Exactly.
So because it's and I'm just curious about over these 20 years. Obviously, technology has changed. We have these silly devices that we carry around that have better cameras than so many of the other cameras we used to use. Like, I can make 100%. A film on my iPhone.
Right. And it would be better than, 90% of what we got back in the day. The quality of what can be recorded and in what conditions, it's come so far. And it's been wild to see that. Like, I think that it would be – it might – that might actually be a fun way to format a show is to do sort of a year-by-year, show a film from each year for – for the past 20 some odd years. And just the quality of them changes so much. I mean, those DV films they were all standard def. They were pretty grainy. The sound wasn't very good generally unless you had a whole bunch of external microphones.
Right.
So it's like some of those early films, like the bad films were really, really bad, but just because of it required a lot of technical know-how to get over the hump of being able to hear what the actors were saying.
Right.
And
right.
so... That was
it really differentiated the people that took the time to figure it out versus the ones that were just kind of throwing something together. But those other ones were pretty fun too. I was like, you're still seeing your friends do something goofy.
Yeah, that's kind of fun, and I think that's part of the joy of a local film festival is it doesn't necessarily have to be Oscar worthy, right?
No.
It's just got to be you got to have an idea, right? And that's why I think what I'm getting at here is the technology is easier. Entry into wanting to make a film. And now it's
Absolutely.
Really about how do you capture that idea? How do you, then it's more about the creative juices in terms of the story, right?
Right.
So do you have advice for people who might want to be thinking about this is a cool idea I have. What do I do next?
Yeah. First of all, find some people to kick ideas around with. It's really fun to talk with someone and collaborate and come up with an idea. It's great to sit down and write it and in your own little workspace, but it's nice to share things with people and get them invested and then go from there, kind of build your snowball. And when you're doing a film project, it's really a lot of it is very collaborative, and so figuring out who it is that you want to work with is almost more important than the what do you want to say. It's what do we want to say instead of what do I want to say. And I think in terms of getting over the hurdle of technology, there's just a bazillion YouTube videos out there that show you how to do every little thing. So I feel that's not even as big of a hurdle as it was.
I think the biggest thing is just get started. Just do
just
it.
Just do it.
Yeah. And then you'll learn along the way. And your first one, you'll be like, oh, well, I could have done this better. And then the second one, you will fix that.
Because there's something about showing it in front of an audience that I think might stop people, right? Because
it's
incredible.
It's
showing incredible. Because people are always posting stuff online. They don't actually get a click or they get a comment or whatever. But it's not like if you're sitting in an audience full of people watching your film, you can gauge what's happening in real time, which pieces they're reacting to, which pieces aren't working.
Yeah, what hits, what
doesn't. You learn so much more by watching your own film sitting in a theater with an audience than you would ever learn by sharing it online.
Yeah, the joy of that, right?
Yeah.
The joy that you get from the high. It's really a high, right? It really is a high to be able to see.
Well, yeah, or a low.
But the nervousness, every time I directed a theater piece, I've never directed a film, but whenever I would direct a theater piece, because at that point when you're showing it, you're done.
You don't have any control,
and now it's the audience, and how are they reacting to it? And you want to share whatever this message is that you're getting out there, right? It's just funny because I think about local creation for videos. You're talking about YouTube or TikTok, a lot of these people. There's so many people making videos now.
Yeah.
And it just speaks to me to the need for human creation, to be artistic in some way. And whether you have a life that's, you know, you're a mechanical engineer or something and you're not able to do it full time, but you can still nowadays, you can get your camera out, you can have a funny idea or a little something you want to do, and you can create a film. And how long do the films have to be able to be submitted for the Jump Festival?
Well, they can be no longer than 10 minutes, but we don't have a minimum.
There's no minimum. There's no minimum. Okay. So I can make like a 30-second thing that I wanted to think about and put it in the film festival.
Yeah, and like for example, one of the really cool things we did over the years is there was a filmmaker who came to Juno from Amsterdam, and she led a thing called the City 1 Minutes Project that recruited 24 filmmakers in Juno to make 1 minute documentary films for each hour of the day. It was this like, at the end, it's a 24-minute film with each person doing a 1 minute segment. And so it was a really interesting little slices of life from all these different perspectives. And they were just 1 minute documentaries.
And it was throughout the day. So you can kind of get almost like a whole little like scope of what the day looks like in Juno.
But I think that's a great exercise. Like it's a good starting project. Like if you don't know what you want to do, if you don't know what you're trying to say, like do a 1 minute documentary about something.
Start small.
Yeah.
Start small. Yeah. You're listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm talking with Pat Race and Aaron Suring about the Jump Film Festival, the short film festival. It's happening Thursday, March 19th, Friday, March 20th, and Sunday, March 22nd down at the Gold Town Nick. You can go to goldtownnick.com for more information. You can also go to jumpsociety.org if you want to submit a project. Pat's saying maybe you have until like Monday, Tuesday, so you could get something done over the weekend, do a short little something-something and submit it to the festival.
Yeah, and if people in the community have, if you've seen something great and you want to make sure that gets shared, like maybe there's some music video that's like not on our radar. Like some of this we go out and like chase people down. And we're like, oh my gosh, we need to screen this. And some of it comes to us through the submission form. And so if there's someone listening out there that's like seen a great 5 minute documentary that some Juno person made that might not be connected with us yet, send it our way. We'd love to see it.
That's really cool.
Yeah, please.
Now have you both had films in the festival before?
Yes.
Many, many films.
Many times.
Yeah.
It's been 20-something years, yes.
Yeah. And what do you have any in this year's festival?
Probably.
We haven't put the festival together yet, so I'm not entirely sure what all is going to go in there. But we collect all the stuff and then we kind of like start pushing it out and see how much we have room for our stuff or everything else too.
I see. So do you keep like are you always dabbling in that? Cause I know Pat, you're a animator. So you do a lot of that kind of thing all the time, right? You're always working in that space. Aaron, I don't know as much about you. Are you always like got something creative going on the side?
Sometimes. I mean, I'm not, that's not as much lately. I think I've definitely have had that in the past.
Yeah.
Need to get back into it.
Aaron, have you guys
Aaron
collab-
was like the stop motion guy. Like,
oh, stop
he would
motion.
Do all his films were like stop motion animation films. So
well,
like,
that takes a lot of time.
They're fun though.
Yeah,
they are fun.
Yeah,
yeah. I've never done that. That would be really cool.
Yeah.
Where did you use? Was it like clay or did you use like other items or how?
I've done clay, but mostly I'd use other items. Yeah, just kind of like different little toys, or I did one with playing cards that were like building a house, like a card house.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
different,
yeah.
Different
yeah.
things like that. And
Oh, that's so awesome.
And you can do it with people too. I mean, that's fun.
Stop motion people. That would be really interesting.
Yeah.
Did you do that?
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
There's a great film. It's called Socks, and Lou and Aaron did it, and it's incredible. It's pixelation is stop motion with people, and it's got that and this guy chasing his socks around in the morning trying to get them and put them on. It's,
oh my God, that's hilarious!
Yeah.
I love that. So, what else can we expect at the festival? Is there like a talk back, or is there how does it work on when we go to the night?
Yeah, you know, you come in and you get some popcorn and you sit down and watch some movies. And it's like kind of what you
sometimes
might.
There's an admission.
Yeah, there's a bunch of short films that we'll screen. And I haven't seen them all yet, but they're rolling in. We've got one that's like about mural construction. That's a time. We've got a bunch of time lapse. We've got a documentary on whiskey class. We've got comedies. We've got a comedy by Hannah Wolf. We've got a I'm very excited to share that one. There's another one poking fun at Oligarchy. There's a documentary on Rain Country. By Jordan Kendall. There's, you know, probably we'll have some music videos, short documentaries, a lot of that kind of stuff is what you'll see in the festival.
That's so cool. And yeah. The documentary on Ring Country is timely because we just started replaying the episodes.
I heard that.
Last
That's
night.
Yeah. Very exciting.
Oh, I didn't
know that. It premiered last night with the first ever episode.
Wow.
Last night. And they're going to play them this season. I think there's going to be like 24 or something this season. But the idea is that they're going to get all these digitized and updated and, you know, so we can watch them all, because there is like a black market of Rain Country.
There is. It's amazing.
DVDs out there and VHSs and stuff.
Yeah.
And yeah, you can find these things, or people post them on YouTube or things like this
Go
documentary.
Go to the Alaska State Library and check them out. Yeah,
sure. Yeah. So I don't know. I think the minds here at KTO were like, we should maybe do something with that.
I mean,
put them out.
There's like a whole generation of people that haven't had a chance to see them.
Yeah.
You know,
and
it's really interesting. It's history. It's our history in this region.
It's so great.
It's these people that are. That have gone on to do interesting things as young, interviewing them as young folks.
Yeah.
In this,
started in like 1985. Yeah. So, it's, I mean, at that point now, we're talking like 40 something years ago, which is, I can't believe that that's 40 years ago, but it kind of is.
Mm-hmm.
It's wild. But the Jump Festival is almost 25, I guess, 24 years old this year.
That's
you can
wild.
Get your film in. You can go to jumpsociety.org. You have until Monday or Tuesday, soft deadline there. Don't believe what the website says of March 12th, because that was yesterday.
Also, don't believe the typo. We'll fix the typo.
There's a typo on there. The festival is Thursday and Friday, and then skipping Saturday, it's on Sunday. And, of course, you can find all that information at jumpsociety.org or go over to goldtownnick.com, I think, to get maybe tickets in advance.
There are no tickets. It's
no
a free show.
It's free.
That's been like a big thing since the beginning. We always make our shows free. You can make a donation if you want. You can spend some money on popcorn, but it's super accessible and great chance to just come out and see some local films.
I love that. That's fantastic. Well, thank you so much for coming in today. I really appreciate it, giving us a little sneaky peek into what we can expect next weekend for the Jump Short Film Festival.
Yeah.
Pat Reyes, Aaron Searing, thank you so much. Gunshish.
Yeah, Gunshish.
This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO. That will do it for today's Juno Afternoon. Don't forget that this week is KTO's Spring Membership Drive. Your contributions as a donor and member of KTO make shows like this one, Juno Afternoon, possible. It's all about local stories, local people, local connections, and it's supported by you. Now is the time to renew, offer an additional gift, or if you haven't become a member yet, it's an awesome time to become a new member and support KTO with your donation at ktoo.org. Of cheese. Juno Afternoon airs Wednesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Akbay 91.7. You can find the show online at ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon, where you can listen to episodes, subscribe to the podcast, offer feedback or suggestions, or find out how to be a guest on the show. You can also find live stream archives on KTOO's YouTube page. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. Programming support for Juno Afternoon comes from Country Financial, Hanson Grass, Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, Tongass Federal Credit Union, and you. Juno Afternoon is a project of the KTOO Arts and Culture team. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Gunath Cheesh, and have an awesome weekend. We're going to go out with one more song from Blue Nagoon. This is from Love in the Time Of, and this features Christina Pollock, and this is called The Pull of the Stars. Have a good weekend, all.